Hey guys, what's up? Happy New Year. Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life Inner Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo. On the Life Inner Show, we help people live amazing lives and businesses to support those lives. I'm joined by not only Polish Petey, our
Peter.
But the rest of our Life Inner coaches, or the most of them, I should say. So these are people that are leading and mentoring and coaching and changing lives within the Life Inner community. They have members in their groups that who are really helping them in all aspects of really just living whatever their vision is to the utmost of their abilities and to the capacity of whatever that person wants to do. And so this episode is going to be a rapid fire question and answer kind of based, like, you know, the question I'm asking my coaches is like, what's one tip or one suggestion you'd have for people as they want to make 2026 their best year ever? And maybe if they're going to share a personal story, or maybe they're going to share something about their members, or maybe they're going to share a lesson they've learned through their many years of coaching within Life Inner. So I'm going to look at my screen here and let's see here who is going to go first. Let's go with Ken Holmes.
I knew you were going to make me go first. You know, when you said that and I thought about it, really to me, it just comes down to the same broken record that most of us have been preaching for a long time. You write a vision, you make a plan, you get started, you have faith, and you never give up. And you surround yourself with people who will support you. That is something that works every time people try it. Just not that many people actually try it. And so starting the new year, I say you do exactly that. Make your plan to get to your vision. Go ahead and get started, knowing it's not perfect. Have faith that it'll all work out in the long run. Never give up and stay in contact with people who will support you.
Dude, wow, man. Do we need anybody else to share, or is that everything right there, right? That's awesome, dude. Thanks, Ken. What's the number one thing you'd say holds people back from starting that journey or staying on it?
Fear. Mm-hmm. Doubt and fear and worry. Every time. That's it. Doubt, fear, and worry are the enemy. A plan, a group, people to help you, faith. That's what counteracts doubt, fear, and worry.
Love it. Thanks, dude. All right, man. That's great. How about Jackie and Brett? What do you guys have? And you can give us one or two. Like, I know these are two of our coaches. Bracky. Obviously,
that works.
Bracky, that's a new one. That's a new one.
So for me, I like to keep things simple, right? So on the financial side, like, everybody wants to hit that home run and swing for the fences. But sometimes a big deal is just a little bunch of little deals strung together. So just stay focused, focus on hitting those little base hits every day, and pretty soon you're going to get to where you want to be.
Ooh, that's gold, man.
Yeah. And it's funny because we were on mute discussing, like, you know, well, what do you have? And we both had a little bit of the same thing because, you know, and like Ken, I'm a broken record. I'm always telling people, you know, figure out what you really want. And in this case, for the year, like, what part of your vision do you really want to make sure that you hit? And then break it down into those smaller action steps and then put those in your daily calendar. Figure out, you know, what are the small things that I need to do each day that works me to the end of getting that final vision. So those smaller action steps getting to the main vision. And I think that's a lot of times people just try to attack like the big thing. And they either never get to it or it's just too much. You can't chunk it that big. And so taking the smaller action steps and putting them in the calendar and figuring out the who's along the way, because sometimes you need to bring someone else in that does a piece of it for you. So figuring out who the who's are and putting that all in your action steps.
I love that, you guys. And, like, you know, I think this ties in a little bit to what Ken just said is, like, you know, the reason why so many people don't pursue this stuff is fear. And when you break it down into really small, tangible baby steps, it becomes less intimidating. It feels less overwhelming. You see a little bit more progress more regularly. So I absolutely love that. How does somebody know, like, what the right, how would you recommend somebody, chooses what size step to take, or how does somebody know like what kind of amplitude or size would be adequate or appropriate?
I feel like when it comes down to that, it's something that you can actually schedule, you know, that you can put in your calendar and say, okay, on this day, in this block of time, I can accomplish this. And then once I do that, I can move to the next step. I feel like action steps can be broken down into just the little tiny, almost like the to-do list task, you know, and on Brett's side of thing, talking about, you know, the big deals or the little deals. I mean, we have experience with that too. Every time we try to shoot for the fences and take down something really big, those things have not worked out for us. We've invested huge chunks of money that we've lost. But when we invest the smaller chunks, they've all come back to us with little worker interest pans.
Yeah, I think when you're laying out the action steps, you got to just focus on the steps that are required and not the outcomes, because you can't control the outcomes, but you can control your actions. So that's the key.
Ooh, that's gold right there too. Yeah. Look for the actions. Love it. Thank you guys. Let's go to Garcia, David Garcia, coach of the infamous T6 Titanium 6 group.
Hey, thanks, Wojo. I think two things I would mention. One, I think it's just keeping a positive mindset. Business is really tough right now for a lot of entrepreneurs. And so I think keeping the right mindset, along with, you know, what Ken mentioned or Jackie and Brett mentioned, all play into each other. So keeping that positive mindset and just taking the time to do the right actions, which kind of leads me into my second piece of advice. And that is, everybody's looking to pivot and create different aspects of their business, where I've been working with a lot of my students lately on just making sure that the business that they have currently is operating most efficiently. We're looking at their books. We're going through the business, where their expenditures are. Can we cut? Should we be adding, you know, taking money from one area and adding it to another, like marketing and things like that, to just make the business most optimal, and really helping them set up and forecast for the future. And that's been very successful for quite a few of them that had, had we not done this exercise and gone through the, you know, the taking the time to do it, I think they would have ended up in a much tighter situation coming out of last year and coming into, you know, 2026. So I think getting close with your numbers, knowing what they are, making sure that you're putting money away for some of the big expenditures like taxes, whether it's income tax or, you know, a lot of the students we have are real estate investors, property taxes, things that are big one-time payments, annually. Investor payments is another big one. You'd be surprised how many entrepreneurs don't put money aside for that. And then when the, you know, quarter's up and they need to come up with $60,000, they're scrambling to figure out where it's going to come from. So I work with them to help them put money in buckets along the way so that they're escrowing these payments. And it's not a stress, and they feel better when it comes time to pay them because the money's there.
Dave, do you have any recommended cadence as far as how frequently someone should be looking at their numbers to give them a sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, monthly, of course, but I think at minimum, deep diving quarterly, every 6 months, because the numbers change. You could have a change. Here's an example. I've got a student that has a storage facility. We started looking at the numbers and they were getting tight, and I asked them about their occupancy and they really didn't have a good grip of their number. You know, they're like, oh, I think it's around this percent. But when we dug into it, it was actually a little bit lower. So what we did is we put a focus on how do we create more, you know, occupancy. They gave a month free. After 3 months, you know, they got the third month free, and occupancy went up, like, I think it was like +3 or +4 occupants every month for, you know, the last 4 months now. So they're up 8 or 10% in their facility. That makes a huge difference to the bottom line. So had they been checking that monthly or even quarterly, they would have caught that sooner, and it wouldn't have got to a point where it was putting a stranglehold on their business. So I think getting to a point where you're looking at these numbers, and a lot of it's just discipline. It's not like they don't know what to do. It's just they weren't taking the time to actually sit down and say, hey, it's the third week of the month. Let's look at the numbers. that kind of discipline.
Well, you know, it's interesting, man. I love that. And it also kind of ties back for me into Jackie and Brett's. What did I say? Brettie? Brettsy? I can't remember what I called you guys last
time. Racky.
Racky.
That's their new name, by the way.
Into what, what Jackie and Brett said, which is like the action items, right, should be dictated. So two things. One is you just said, hey, that just like they talked about action items, this is an action item for them to do. Check the numbers. But also the action items that you choose to do should be based on some measurable outcome that if you take these actions, it'll likely lead to some sort of result. And so in your case, you had an occupancy issue. Jackie and Brett could be like, okay, well, hey, what are the likely actions that could help us fix this? And then that ties into the actions that that person will do on a daily or a consistent basis to get that outcome. And again, you know, outcomes are not directly within our control, but we have a likelihood of that, you know, leading to that place if we do the action. So thank you, man. I love that. Awesome tip. Tim, Mr. Tim Davis.
Hey, well, back to the broken record again. So the reason most people don't get what they want because they have no idea what they want. And it seems like a question, well, what do you want? Most people have never really considered what they wanted out of life. They just let society and their parents and everybody else tell them what they should have or what they should want if they want to be happy. So breaking through that is the hardest thing. It was hard for me. I still struggle with it. So knowing what you want and having it written down in a clear, concise way is where I would start. And this is true with anything where it's a business or whatnot. I've been in business since the late 80s, but I didn't write my very first business plan until the year 2000. And it was a very comprehensive business plan. That's probably like 30 pages. And I wrote it, you know, to secure financing back in the day from my building business. But I wrote the plan and I set it aside in a drawer and didn't look at it until the end of the year. And when I compared where I was at the end of the year to where I had projected I was going to be, it was almost like I was reading the same spreadsheet. It was just amazing. It blew my mind. So I have always tried to be a business planner from that point on. But the second thing that's, I've never been without a mentor or multiple mentors or a coach. I've been a student in professional coaches care since the turn of the century, since 2000. So, you know, I'm a member of Life and Air as a student as well as a coach. So I've been a Life and Air for, I don't know, 8 years now. So, and if I left Life and Air, I'd probably join another coaching group. So it's just, I think it's important to have somebody in your life that's going to speak positively into your life and be the encouragement you need when you don't feel like you've got it together and you can't go on. Somebody else coming into and speaking into your life will make all the difference. So surround yourself with people who are rooting for you, just like Ken said, and put what you want in life down on paper. And one of the exercises I have my students do is pretend it's December 31st of next year. Here's all the great things that happen in your life. So just write it down. Just, oh, they already happened. And then go back to the present and work your way backwards. And what do I need to do starting today to make that come true by December 31st of this year? So that's a good way to get started.
I love that, man. That's a great way to reverse engineer that. And again, gets back into those action steps. Why do you think so few people have created a vision or know what they want, you know, when you really think about it?
Really, we're not taught to do that. We're taught to just go with the flow, you know. We're taught from early age, you know, education is the secret to a successful life. We're taught to go to college, get a degree, get a job, and, you know, climb the corporate ladder. And someday when you're old enough and you got enough money, you can start enjoying life. So that's the totally opposite way of which everybody should be thinking. They should be thinking when they're young, okay, what do I want my life to look like? And nobody really goes there. So, you know, okay, I just need to get the money and I need to get the stuff and then I'll have contentment, which I think is what everybody's looking for, is contentment. And they think contentment lies in more stuff and more money. And when they get more money and more stuff, they're still not content. So they come to the conclusion, well, I just don't have enough stuff or enough money yet. So I just need to work harder. And the thing is, you'll never get contentment by working harder or getting more stuff. You can ask me how I know that, because I fell into that same trap. You know, hit the wall in my mid-40s, the wall where, is this all there is? Question that most people come to the point in their life when they start asking that question. Is this all there is? You know, I've gotten everything that society said I should have in order to be content and happy, but I'm more stressed out now than I've ever been. So what's the deal? So.
Gotcha. Thank you, man. That's awesome. That's gold. Love it. Love it. How about, let's hear from Susie Kambick.
Yeah. Hey. So my message is pretty straightforward. Consistency beats intensity every time. So we all go into the new year feeling like, oh, this is going to be the year. This is what I'm going to do this year. And we set very lofty goals, and that's great. But really, you don't need a perfect plan. You just need a repeatable one. So something that once you figure out what the big goal is for the year, focus on that. And maybe it's just the first 90 days. And then you can just set up a system where you can make the behaviors repeatable so that you have the most optimal way of meeting that goal. So I'm going to give you a really dumb example here, but I'm hitting that age where I need to be paying attention to different health related things. You know, balance is becoming more important at this point in my life. And, you know, I plan on living for many, many more years. And so this is something I need to start taking seriously. And so I've developed this habit now. Every morning when I'm brushing my teeth, I take turns standing on one foot and working on my balance. And so this is, you know, a really probably stupid example, but if whatever you need to accomplish or whatever you're wanting to accomplish, figure out ways to incorporate, you know, a small way, but a repeatable way that you can work on that particular goal every day.
Mm. Susie, I love that. And you actually, you know, you really gave two nuggets there in one. I don't know if you realize that. I'm sure you did. Is it's not, and I love what you said, it's consistency, not the intensity. Like, you can't take a week's worth of workouts and cram it into an hour. Right. That's not going to work well. And right. The other thing that I thought was awesome is you said how, you know, you basically found something you were already doing and then found a way to piggyback those activities onto that. That is, and so instead of it being like a, hey, I'm going to take I got my balance session of the day. You're like, no, I'm already brushing my teeth. I'm standing here. I'm going to do this in addition to that, so that now you can kind of double dip and work on that new thing consistently, anchor it to the habit that's already existing, and then you can do both at once.
So say it's something, you know, from a business perspective, say it's more, you know, you started, you know, our call off today, the offline call, talking about what you want to take care of, you know, what you want the vision for Life and Air to look like this year, right? And so say it's something in other people's businesses, like they want to make sure that they have consistent sales touches every month, right? So then every day, making sure that you're setting up a system where, you know, maybe not every day, but a consistent schedule where you're able to take care of those smaller chunks of things on a regular basis. So I kind of think about it as if you're working in a factory and, you know, you see how the machine works, right? It's, you know, I like cooking. So let's say it's like a donut machine, right? You see that every time the batter is going in and it's moving down the line, right? If you try and jam everything in at one time, it's going to be a mess, right? But if you just do the consistent amount of batter every time and let it go through the machine, it's going to work. You know, over time, what's going to come out on the other end is exactly what you were looking to achieve.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you, Susie. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to get right back to the episode. But before we do, I'm so excited to finally share this with you. The Business for Life book is finally launching. I've taken 3+ years of my life 15 years of academic training, 19 years in business, and put all of this into a one single source for you to create an amazing life and business you love. If you've been following the podcast for any period of time, you know this is all what we're about. And never before have I taken all the principles, all the lessons, all the experiences into one place so that you can have a step-by-step blueprint for achieving it. It's meant to be tactical. It's meant to be a roadmap. It's not a fluffy business book, but it's something you can actually use and refer to achieve the freedom you wanted the business for, so that you can get your time back, so that you can get your life back. Go to businessforlife.com to learn more. You can grab your copy off Amazon, and the instructions are right there. I'm so excited to be part of this journey alongside you, and I have something here that I know 1,000% is going to help you like nothing else ever has before. And I'm proud to present this to you and be part of that. So go get that book and let's get back to the episode. All right. How about we go with Polish Peter? You got anything, man? I mean, I'm probably not, but I figured you might have something you might have like gotten from one of the other coaches.
Learn Polish. That's my tip. No. So listen, on the serious side of things, I think one of the things that I find a lot of people do when they create those New Year's resolutions going to a new year, they create goals around the results, or they create goals around behaviors, and they do them for a little while and they fall off, right? And I think one of the reasons why that happens is because they never upgraded their operating system. What I mean by that the beliefs, the things that's going on in the head that actually drives whether you do that behavior or not. And so one of the things that I always ask like my students, like think about it this way, like why is it that sometimes someone wins the lottery and they become this multimillionaire and within a couple of years they lose all that money? Because they haven't upgraded their belief system to be able to actually be with that money, right? And they're losing it and giving away whatever, or spending it, right? So the point I'm asking is like every single time we talked about the visions and we had some really good things that other coaches had said, like fear or whatever, you ask yourself the questions, who do I need to become in order to live that life? Like, what kind of a person do I need to become to live that life? What kind of a, you know, entrepreneur, what kind of a business owner do I need to be able to run this type of a business? What kind of a leader I need to become to run that kind of a business? Or even like when you're in marriage, right? What kind of a husband or wife do I need to become to have this marriage, or, you know, the father or the mother? And we start looking from that perspective, we start shifting our thinking so we can actually have these behaviors happening. Like, for instance, like Susie just talked about standing on one leg. And by the way, I'm standing right now on one leg, Susie, so where to go? But when you start looking from that perspective, she had to shift how she views herself in order to do that and put that thing in practice. So I think that's a big thing that people miss about not looking from who do I need to become. And I think that's a big missing element to a lot of people's success.
Awesome. Thanks, dude.
You should write a book on that, Peter. You seem very passionate about it.
You know, that, yeah. I mean, I should probably do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a name for you too, man, but I can't pronounce it. So don't worry about
it. For me?
Yeah. For the book.
Hold on. You actually can't say some kind of a complicated word. Is that what you're saying right now?
Oh,
is it that PG-rated movie kind of a thing?
No, it's a, like, you know, it's just when I'm curious to see what's going to happen when you do the audiobook.
Oh, I'm doing this right now. I don't understand what I'm saying in the audiobook, so right. It'll be fun.
All right, let's continue. Halverson, Steve Halverson, what do you got, man?
So the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Next best time is today. It really comes down to having integrity with yourself. And, you know, everyone talks about New Year's resolutions. I'm not a fan of New Year's resolutions. Everyone waits till the first of the year to start things. I'm the kind of guy that will say it now, start it now. You know, you can talk about the new year, new you. You know, I need to lose some weight. Well, why wait? Why not just, you know, start doing it today? I'm not going to wait until January 1st. I'm not going to wait until next week, Monday. I'm going to start it today. Same thing of if I needed to implement something in my business. Why am I going to wait until next week, next month? A little different side story of that is I was in a group setting the other day, just a random conversation with a bunch of people. And there was a young man there. He was getting ready to graduate. And he's talking about this passion that he has in life. And he's, but then he's like, I'm like, well, what are you going to do with it? He's, well, you know, when I get done with school, I'm going to go to trade school. I'm going to do this. I'm like, well, I kind of live life a little bit differently. Why are you sidestepping and going and doing this other thing to wait for someday when? And his mom was even there, and she's just like, yeah, why are you waiting? Why do you want to do this? And he's like, well, Dad said I should go and do this. It's like, so you're going to live your life based off of what your dad thinks you should do. And it created an opportunity for a conversation. I met up with him the next day, and I happened to have a Life in Air book with me. And I gave it to him and his mom both. And it was just like, just read this. This is a game changer. It changed my life. It changed the whole reality of what you can do in your life by being able to, you know, start now and do what it is you want to do versus what the world thinks you should do. And I know I kind of went all over the place because that's the way that I work, but have integrity with yourself. If you say it, do it.
Dude. Yeah. So big. Give any practical tips for that? Cause like, you know, hey, I'm going to wake up 5 a.m. and go to the gym. That alarm clock goes off. You roll. You're like, nope, not today. It's cold out. I'm rolling over. Like, how does somebody have integrity with themselves? Like, do you have any tips? Is it just bullying yourself? Is it pushing through anyway? Are there any tips or suggestions or hacks that you can think of to like make this easier for someone?
I guess the first thing is just taking the steps. You know, for me, it's if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. That doesn't work for everybody, and I understand that. So I have not a hard time answering for someone. Yeah, I guess I do have a hard time answering for someone else. But I guess the hardest part, you know, let's just say, you know, the working out, I'm going to hit the gym. Well, just get up and go to the gym and, you know, stand at the door. If you turn around and leave, you turn around and leave. But at least you made that first initial step to get there. Maybe tomorrow you'll actually get inside and, well, maybe you're going to have a coffee when you're sitting at the gym. Well, at least you're inside. You know, the next day, all right, now I'm going to hit the weight machine. So whatever it is, just take the action step and get moving.
Got it, man. All right, man. Love it. All right, let's hear from Shannon Scott. Shannon Scott Richardson.
Okay, so something that we do each year and have done continually is that we reset for the year. So we do a reflection. We reflect back and do an audit of our calendar from the previous year to see what we liked, the use of our time, if it was well spent, things that we wasted time on, things that we said we wanted to do but didn't make it, and why. And we just take a current state of our life and our business, and we make sure that as we go forward and set those goals, that they're action and goal steps that align with our vision. And I don't know, that's really what's helped us. And then the other thing that we do is we don't just write it and forget about it for the year. We revisit it. And it's every 90 days. It's every 12 weeks where we're resetting it. We're trying to figure out always who's the who's. If something's not getting done, that's fine. Who else can do it? So Jackie had kind of talked about that too, but we hit our goals because we're always on track to kind of, I don't know, target, I guess we just, right. You know, we write them down, mm-hmm. honestly.
And some of those things that we put down are hard. And I think that's one of the things is you have to just choose your hard is, do you want to just be complacent or do you want to get to the point where you have the success? So each one is going to be hard because if you don't meet your goals, it's going to be harder. But if you work hard to accomplish your goals, you're going to have that success. So you choose your heart and what you want to do in your business and your life and your relationships.
How do you, so what made you guys choose that frequency of revising those and monitoring and checking them? Was there some result behind that or something that worked for you or didn't work in the past?
Yeah, it actually works really well. We write it down and it's the momentum. Like for us, we do weekly check-ins. We're constantly, that works for us. We're looking at something that aligns or doesn't. Do you have any?
Yeah. Well, I think when you do it that in that frequency, you don't get as far behind. If you just set yearly goals, then you get to November and you're like, oh man, I got to work really hard for the next 30 days to accomplish these goals. But if you break this down into 90-day segments, then you're going to have a much more chance of success, because you're constantly looking at these and then you're seeing, okay, what can I do better in the next 90 days and to achieve these goals? So you're not just waiting until the end of the race to finally sprint. You want to just have this marathon throughout the year to accomplish everything.
Yeah, because by October, we still feel like we got a whole new shot at it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two things. And one is I think, you know, substantial goals take time. Like, you're not going to knock it off in a week. Like, I think we all tend to underestimate how long things take. And, you know, if you've ever done a flip, of course, you know, it's always over budget. It's always over time. Like, and so we tend to, like, maybe underestimate those things. And so you're giving yourself an adequate window to get things done. But also, like, it's almost like its own, like, Scott, you mentioned this, or Shannon, or like, it's almost like its own little reset, where it's like, you know, people look at the beginning of the year, January, as a reset. And so imagine having, you know, four New Year's a year, which is another opportunity for you to, okay, like, here's another chance for us to kind of move forward and you know, reset the clock. So I love that. And it builds upon each other. So it's cumulative, and that momentum, you know, kind of continues throughout the year and through the years as well. So love it. Thank you guys. That's really valuable. How about Dobbin, Mr. Dobbin Buck? And you are muted, my friend.
That's the way they like me. I agree with Halverson that I don't really do the end of the year type of thing. Everything is really what I'm into today, or, you know, there's no reason to delay till some given date to get started on something. But I would say that the most valuable thing that I have practiced is my daily practice, and that I don't look at it as something I have to do. I look at it as a gift to myself, and I look forward to these things, and I calendar these commitments to myself as well. So to give you, I read an interview with the filmmaker David Lynch, and he said his daily meditation practice and different things that he does, when he does it every day, it doesn't matter how much chaos erupts in making films the rest of the day, ultimately he comes back to that center. And so I found a lot of value in that. And so my daily practice, which quickly is, I do a 15-minute sauna at 180 degrees. I do a cold plunge at 41 degrees. I do the sauna for 15 minutes, do a cold plunge at 41 degrees for 3 to 5 minutes, depending on what I can bear. Go back, do another sauna for 15 minutes, do another cold plunge. Then I meditate for 30 minutes. And then also practices in mobility, a little bit of exercise. For me, it's like walking and stuff. I'm not lifting weights, but getting out, nutrition, and reading and writing every day, journaling every day. So those don't all happen in one chunk. I have them scheduled. But when I do those things every day, I come into the workplace with a sense of stillness, and my mind has clarity. I'm able to think. I'm easier to get along with the people that I interact with. You know, there's a certain peace about me, and my sense of humor and my general well-being goes into those conversations. So I do that every single day, with some variation on the weekends, unless I'm traveling, and then I do a short version of that. But I do that, and it has contributed to my personal life and my work life substantially. When I have to work with other people, how I'm operating is a very important thing. Tim also mentioned using coaches and mentors. I also meet with a mentor at 1 p.m. every Monday when I'm not traveling, and to gain guidance, or just to have sometimes a contemporary that's operating at what I consider to be a higher level than me, getting feedback from them. So those are like the key ingredients. So that's the stuff that I love about my life. And it doesn't require a ton of money to have those things in my life. That's just about like honoring myself, honoring my family, and being the best person I can when I get into work mode. You know what I mean?
Man, that's wild. Super valuable, Dobbin. Thank you for that. You know, it also kind of, to me, it feels like it ties into multiple of the shares that have already come through here. So for instance, like Peter mentioned, becoming the person or being the person you need to become. Well, one of the ways you can become that person is by giving yourself time to become that person and do the things that that person would do. You know, the consistency is showing up here again. The taking action, the committing to yourself. Like, listen, I'm sure there's days where, you know, you're nice and warm and cozy in that sauna, and then that thought of like that cold plunge is like, oh man. And but like Halverson, like you do it. You say you're gonna do it, you do it, right? And so there's so many, like there's patterns here that you all are sharing that are so valuable. I'm so appreciative of this, and I hope you guys that are listening right now or tuning in are getting this. And we have one more for you, and that is Miss Kathleen Neubauer.
Hi, everybody. I want to just help share about how to bring more peace into your life for 2026. One of the things that causes you to lack peace in your world are your preferences. So preferences that we have developed through our life, we often make them our rules, and that's kind of how we live by. And so let's say that you have a preference that you get up every day and you do the gym, right? And if you don't get to do the gym that day, you're very disappointed, right? Your expectation didn't get met. Well, when we combine our preferences with someone else's preferences, we don't always have patience for somebody that is not meeting our preferences. We're looking for the world to meet our preferences. So think about a husband and wife working together, and the wife is a go-getter and always driven and pushing and pushing and pushing, and their spouse is someone who has to process and think, right? The wife's preference would be that the husband becomes like her, right? And is mad, she gets mad or disappointed when that doesn't happen because it's not his preference. And so these differences can cause great conflict. So think of another thing like, how you want to keep the house clean. Some people have a preference that their house needs to look like a model home, not lived in. And they might marry somebody or bring somebody into their fold where they're more to a lived-in house where there's some toys or a jacket laying out. What happens is the person that has these tight preferences can be offended because there's a jacket laying out as if it was personal. And oftentimes it is just that the preferences are different. So if you can start to look at the different preferences that you have in your home or even in your business, because preferences with business partners or employees works the same way. Your preference creates an expectation or a rule that you think should happen. Do it my way, it works, right? And so then when you don't do it that person's way, then they feel like you're disrespecting them or they're losing control. And the same is happening to the other person, whether that's the employee, they'll feel disrespected as well because of the way they were spoken to, or they'll think, I'm doing the best I can. And so if you start to identify what small little preferences are causing a disruption in how you feel that day, you can ask yourself, have I made that a rule and expect people to live by that rule? Or is it just an opinion? Is it just a preference that I developed throughout my life that is not worth the battle of fighting with somebody? So if you get upset, if a cup is sitting on the counter, not in the dishwasher, why not just put it in the dishwasher? Because that's your preference. The other person may want to put it in there later, right? They don't even think about it. But when we take everything that goes against our preferences as a personal attack, we live very unfulfilled. We live with this pain that the world is kind of against us, and I constantly have to fight for what I want, or you don't love me enough, or you're not a good enough partner in business or whatever it is, or your children don't obey you. Right. All these different rules that we created are based off the preferences that we developed to feel safe, to feel in control, to feel loved. And when they're not being met now as adults, we're not expressing what those preferences are. And to be able to express it, we also have to be able to understand the partner's preference or the child's preference so that we can see that I may have this preference to feel safe or loved, and they may have a different preference to feel safe or loved. Neither are wrong. They're just preferences. But if we're not talking about it and having conversations about it, there's no collaboration or compromise in some cases. So we try to develop what is going on within us when we feel that sense of disappointment. Ask yourself, what is happening inside? Why did that feel so disappointed to me? What was I expecting? Because if we're doing that with other people, then we're certainly doing it with ourselves. And we're feeling let down by ourselves when something doesn't go exactly as we expected. And so we can really relieve some of that if we just say that was a preference, but it wasn't reality. It wasn't something that I could count on. Not everything is permanent and just go by the book. We have to allow for the oops or the mistakes or the shift in differences. We have to be able to give space to that. We have to have margin so that we're not so rigid in our thinking. And that's the only way to allow other people to really feel connected, is to be able to understand both sides of the preferences.
Wow, Kathy, that was like a masterclass in like right there in like 3 minutes. So that what I'm hearing though is the first thing really is to look for, or at least be aware of, moments of anxiety, anger, emotion, that's the warning flag that's popping up that something's going on here. And that's your invitation to kind of look in further to see, is this a preference? And that's going to be your first opportunity to spot those chances to have more peace.
Yeah.
Love it. Man, these were gold, you guys. Like, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for all of you guys. And listen, if you are listening to this right now, enjoyed this, please give us a review or rating, share it with somebody who you know needs to hear this. And I can speak on behalf of all the coaches, as well as Life and Air and all of our members, that we hope this is your year. We hope this is the first of many years, in fact, that each year continues to ratchet up every opportunity for you to grow into the person you were meant to become and live the vision you were meant to live becomes closer every single day. And of course, Life and Air, we're here to help you as well through this journey. We will see you next week, everyone. Happy New Year.